Luke chapter 18. I feel rough today. Woke up and that old back was telling me that I was 57, and my dog reminded me how wonderful I am, and my wife kissing me and telling me that I was the most handsome man to ever walk the earth. Then I woke up. I noticed a visitor come in. Hi, sis. I'm Pastor David. It's great to have you with us. Thank you for coming in. What you see is what you get. We're nothing special, right? Well, we know with Dawn's in the service, nobody's, Well, Dawn is special. That's Mandy.
That's Mateo's.
God bless you. Well, so you already know our burdens that we carry, having Dawn. Sister Dawn's a blessing once in a while. And then, well, you know what? Brother Scott's gone. My silly iPad does not want to bring up this. Maybe I just preach it from the cuff. I generally do better, I think. It's great to have you all this morning. Thank you for coming. Those of you watching, what a blessing. What you see is what you get. We're nothing special, except for Sister Dawn. She was a perpetual student on the short bus. Kenny, Kyle, y'all got my light. You ain't helping me. Kyle's going to help me. All right. Luke chapter 18. We're going to begin in verse number 9. It can be a tough passage, but this is also going to be a blessed passage. And that's the direction I want to come at it, with the idea of who I could be. Now, you know, remember back in the 80s and 90s, Be Like Mike. You know, that was the big thing with Michael Jordan being the greatest player of all time. You know, you really can't say that about anybody, because there's been so many great basketball players over the years, and we've all seen heartache and we've all seen victory. You know, still to this day, I'm affected by February 28th of 1979. When Michigan State was allowed to throw Larry Bird to the floor, no fouls were called, and Michigan State paid for their national championship win by 11 over Indiana State, only because of debauchery, because of wickedness, because of just downright corruption. Can I have an amen?
Amen to State.
Yeah, go green. Or if you're in that beautiful state and you want to go blue, that means you're dead, okay? Just saying, but I won't say no more, because I've already picked enough fights for the morning. Yeah. I'm shaking in my boots. Who could I be? What could I be? We ask our kids that question. Who could I be? Verse 9 of chapter 18. And he spake this parable unto the certain which trusted in him, in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Now, there are three things I want you to notice in this verse. Number one, they trusted in themselves. Now, we want to go to the Pharisee and the publican in this story, which we will here in just a moment. But we often forget there are actually three things there. Number one, they trusted in themselves. Number two, that they were righteous. So they're righteous in their own world and in their own eyes. And in other words, they can't do anything wrong. There's just some people on earth that they think that there's nothing that they can do is wrong. But he says, nevertheless, these are the ones that trusted themselves. They thought themselves righteous and despised others. Now, many of you would say, wait a minute, I'm not going to despise others. Some of you would say that I know I'm not righteous in myself. But it catches every one of us when we look at the idea of trusting in ourselves. Probably in this church house, one of the greatest needs is for us all to understand we cannot trust in ourselves. Anybody in here have trouble taking a top off a water bottle?
Yeah.
Pop bottle? Anybody in here have trouble opening up a pickle jar?
Yeah.
Jelly jar?
Yeah.
Anybody in here have troubles opening up a Little Debbie cake? Nope, there won't be a one that'll do that. But in ourselves, we are not as strong as we think we are anymore.
Whether you're even 20 or 15 or 10 or 45 or 65, whatever age group you find yourself in, we know that in ourselves there are weaknesses, but we're silly enough to trust in ourselves. Some are silly enough to trust in their own salvation. Some are silly enough to trust in their own financial world. Some are silly enough to think they can get under a 700-pound squat and have no problem lifting that kind of weight. Beloved, a lot of us are struggling to squat our own body weight, let alone 700 more pounds. But we think we can trust in little old me. We think we can trust in little old you. He goes on with this parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Lord, I know I am so wonderful. I am so thankful that I'm not like this, or I'm not like that, or I'm not a Mills, or I'm not a Wolverine fan. Thank you, Lord." And that's so foolish. But that's how foolish we get. What? You're a shepherd. Joseph had told Jacob over there in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was to meet Pharaoh, "Do not tell them that you're sheep herders." See, a sheep herder was the lowest form on earth. Lower than a snake's belly, if you want to use that terminology. When Jacob went in there to meet Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him his occupation, Jacob didn't listen to Joseph. Because Jacob was proud of the fact that God had made him a shepherd. And he told the reigning monarch on earth, probably at that point in time, the greatest nation on earth, he told him, "I am a shepherd." There's a lot of us think greater of ourselves. "I am a hallway engineer. I am a kitchen engineer. I am this and I am that," when in reality we're a janitor. "Well, I'm the official floor engineer." No, you're a floor polisher. And I don't know about you, but I don't mind to be a grunt. David, what do you do in a print shop? I remember when I first started, I was all excited. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be excited. I'm a paper handler. I get to stack paper. And all those older print guys, especially Brother Selvin. Selvin, he would, "Dave, that's the low man on the totem pole. That's low, low, low." But Selvin, I love it. I know, but these other guys, they think they're better and this and that. So when I become their supervisor a few years later, "Hey, fellas, I'm still a paper handler. I can still be a feeder operator." We had a printer here not too long ago, and in the printing world, I wanted him to know that I'd be his feeder operator anytime he wanted me to be. There's nothing wrong with being pots and pans engineer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being the official nose wiper down at the kinder care. The real ones, the ones that are really using not what we have today and there's no kids there kind of stuff. You know, all the fraud that's going on. And so many people are allowing it to happen. You might even be a chief bottle washer. Don't be upset with those positions. But this Pharisee, boy, he was somebody. He was all that then, some of the bag of chips in his world. He didn't realize that walking down the street, he had a piece of toilet paper still on the bottom of his shoe. He didn't know his girdle was showing. And I doubt seriously if he understood about that big old horse fly on the side of his neck. But he was somebody. Verse number 12. "I fast twice in the week. I'm a spiritual giant.
I give tithes of all that I possess. I am somebody in the church. My family's been in this church for 50 years. My family's been in this church for 30 years. Don't he know I'm a deacon in the church? Well, don't he know I'm married to a deacon in the church? Don't he know that I've been teaching Sunday school in here for 50,000 years? If we're not careful, we get full of ourselves, won't we? Just full of self. Well, who I could be? In these verses, of verses 11 and 12, that's who you could be. Work of the flesh. Trusting in yourself. Thinking that you made yourself righteous. Thinking that, you know what? I can despise others. I tell you what, there have been some things said to me the last 19 years that have shocked my world. When I told the pastor that we had baptized some black kids here in the church, he simply said to me, well, I'd never do that. I didn't realize he was a bigot. I never realized that the Bible said that you only baptize the same color you are. I don't know, my Bible says you go to whosoever. And I'm finding out whosoever comes in all shapes and sizes and colors. The Lord Jesus Christ died for everyone, not just for a select few. But to despise others is not good. I remember a pastor literally did this. He saw a homeless guy and he'd talked to him and whatnot. Well, he had this plan in his mind. He had taken a homeless guy and brought him in his homeless condition. Smell differently, hair this away and that away, clothing ratty and whatnot. And for a couple Sundays, this one came in here and sat kind of to the back of the service, and no one said hello to him. No one tried to help him. He said there were a couple people that went back to shake his hand, but that's all they did. And then they would stay at a distance when they would say hello. What a shame. What a shame. Forgive me, I'm trying to get a Kleenex out, and I'm going to have to pull them all out. Forgive me, y'all, please. I'm just going to pick my nose while I look at you, all right? And I'm going to shake my hand with that same hand later on. I'm going to go back here and wipe my hand off on Dawn. Where was I at? The preacher brought him home, cleaned him up, trimmed his beard up and his hair up, put a suit on him the third Sunday, put him right up front there. Everybody wanted to know who he was. They found out that the gentleman was homeless and having some real troubles, financial troubles, because of family leaving him and other things are going on and this and that are happening. Come to find out, the man had been a surgeon. The rest is history. The pastor and the church were able to help him. But you know what's a sad shame? When you despise others. I get despised every time somebody looks at me and says, you're a pastor? Yesterday, I'd spun out bunkers, Sister Karis. Gone up there and went woo-doo-doo like that and cleaned up the bunkers and made them look professional-like. And there was a gentleman that was out walking. And I met him. His name was John. Well, the other guy that was with him, yeah, John, that's that pastor I told you about. Now, John was very friendly, but the other guy sure wasn't. Well, you know, we got a lot against us. I mean, being a white male in America and being a middle-aged male and at middle age. You know what, beloved? I was middle-aged when I was 30. You know what I found out? Being in your 50s, you're in the freshman class of the old people. 60s, you're a sophomore. 70, you're a junior. 80s, you're a senior. When I saw that the other day, I just died laughing. But that other fellow wouldn't have nothing to do with me. Why? Because you're a preacher. I had my shorts on, my work boots on. I had a work shirt on. Had got hit by the sprinkler a couple times. Kenny and Kyle, it was so funny. Kevin, you would have laughed. Oh, man, I got the sweat in Caden. And I mean, I had sweat everywhere. All right, I won't go into detail on that. But I had sweat everywhere looking just dirty and had to go rake a bunker. One bunker so small you just can't use it. I was wore slap out. But John walked up. John's a friend. That other fella, he didn't like me. Now, my personality is such, I want everybody to love me. But I don't want everybody to love me at the expense of compromise either. Does that make sense? I'm not going to go out of my way for you to like me. And chances are, if I got to know you, I might not even like you. This is who I could be. Hey, listen, we already know that we trust in ourselves too much. If we're not careful, we'll think we're righteous, and we're not. And if we're not super cautious, we will despise others. And I tell you, in my personal world, I can't stand anybody from Bob Jones University. Now, if you don't know where that's at, you are blessed. If you don't know what Bob Jones is as a Bible college, you're blessed to not know. But I've met one, maybe two good ones from Bob Jones University in 57 years. 51 years of being around the church house. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, on Thursday was my 51st birthday. Friday was my 57th. And really, it was probably this last week was the 40th year since Miss Jamie rubbed her shoulder up against mine in that Dodge Aspen station wagon of mine. At the end of the month, we're going to celebrate this last Sunday. The last Sunday of the month, 40 years ago, was my first date with my honey. We had youth night at the church. We'll talk more about that another time. God's blessed me. Why would I want to trust myself? Why would I want to despise others? Why would I find myself in a position of thinking that I'm all that, then some in a bag of chips? I'm righteous before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Pharisee and the publican. Now let's look at the publican a moment. Verse number 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote himself on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This publican. I tell you, verse 14, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That means face down in the dirt. What do we know about pride? Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I've had people argue with me on that, and I open my Bible. There's a family not here now because he's mad because the Bible was right and he was wrong. Just over that fact. Well, we always say pride cometh before a fall. A haughty spirit before a fall. Pride cometh before destruction. And in that arrogance, in that foul stench of thinking that you're all that and you're this and that, that's why I have no trouble, Brother Scott, using duct tape, because I'm not all that. I've just seen it win a couple times. I have no problem with it, but I would be a fool not to go to the intelligence and wisdom of others. But that's what that individual does. He's not abased. He doesn't realize somebody knows more than he knows. Somebody's better than him in an area, in this area, in that area. The Pharisee is the individual we all are when we're born. Well, you lied to your mom. You said to her, I'm hungry, and you weren't. Now, you did tell her the truth when your diaper was full and you started crying. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going. This Pharisee, who's who we could be, who we were when we were born. The real danger is trusting in yourself. See, the flesh loves the flesh. Speaking to some people about their party habits and drinking habits and whatnot, Jamie and I were talking about it last night, and I'm thinking, well, why in the world would I want to waste my money and waste my time and do this and that? But the world has convinced itself that if you feed the flesh likes it, and it's convinced itself that that's how you live. You know, the Pharisee does that. I've seen church members like that. I've been in church. We enter and pastored in a church in Perry, Florida at Friendship Baptist Church. Three millionaires run that church. There's a church over 200. And let me tell you what, when they got together and they got to singing, it was great. But those three men ruled. I remember them telling me, Brother Garver, boy, everybody here loves you. You preach the word and you're right and it's so good. But you need to understand, we are in charge here. And that's when I told him, it was right before Christmas of 01. I said, well, look, I'll hang out here and I'll preach to y'all until y'all can find somebody to come in. And it was about a month and a half, 2 months later that they found a feller. He hadn't been there a year and they'd already run him off. Because they think they're in charge. Amen. Well, I'm not like that. That's who you could be. If we don't guard ourselves with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, see, the danger is trusting yourself. Trusting yourself for righteousness before a righteous God? Well, that don't make sense. When all our righteousness is a filthy rags according to God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good. None that seeketh after God. Trusting yourself for justification. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, I'm justified? Oh my word, God's the one that justifies. God's the one that gives you righteousness. God's the one that washes your sin away. The Lord Jesus Christ died for all that and arose again for that. He's the one that's got to do that, not you. See, the Pharisee thought he was justifying himself. And Christian, if you're not careful, you'll justify things that you know you're doing wrong. You'll justify them for this reason or that reason. How many that I talk to and they say, oh, well, you probably don't believe in drinking alcohol. You know what my statement is now? I was raised by a drunk. I was hit by a drunk. No alcohol. Alcohol's never created a positive outcome. Never. And believers want to say it's okay? We think we can justify it. Then we make ourselves righteous. That's exactly what the Pharisee. Now, that's who I could be. The publican. He submits to the fact that he is not righteous before God. That takes humility. Humility before God, God will always honor. Lord God, help me. Help mine unbelief. Lord God, that was not loving and kind to my wife. Lord, that was not loving and kind to that church member or that church. Lord God, that was just not a good thought. Lord, would you forgive me? And we've all had them thoughts. You know why a lot of folks hate President Trump? He just speaks what's on his mind and heart. But he also says what 80% of the American people are thinking. And to tell you the truth, 80% of the American people believe that he's the man and this is the direction we ought to go. Men and women's sports. Are you kidding me? I seen a guy the other day dressed up. I was over in East Kazakhstan. They call it East Lansing. You know, over in Eastern Europe, Eastern Russia over there. Feller in a skirt. My word. We parade ourselves before God thinking that we're righteous, when in reality, friends, we ought to go to our knees if you're able, face down in the dirt if you're able. Dear God, help me. He says there in verse number 13, and the publican standing afar off, he didn't even think he should get close to the altar. Who am I? Would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Lord God, oh Lord God, I am not worthy to come before your throne. Lord God, and the publican, you would think, oh, he was terrible. Because if your taxes was 100, he'd take 200. So he could pocket 100. That's what they did. Well, y'all steal time. Y'all steal energy. We all do. There's a lot of time we could have spent in the Word, but we spent doing something else. Well, Pastor, I can only handle about 10 minutes. Yeah, that's your flesh talking. When in reality, you need at least an hour. Could you imagine what would happen if for 1 hour a day you were in the Word? And I don't care, it could be the same passage for a while. Could you imagine what would happen in your life if you spent another 30 minutes to an hour praying? Or praying through the day, making some lists up. Could you imagine what would happen in your life? I think one of the things that would happen, it would show God humility and you'd be justified before Him. This publican, not only was the humility before God, but we also see in the publican his brokenness. He is broken before God. Wouldn't even lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's repentant, he's humbled, he's justified, and probably one of the greatest things of all is he's forgiven. The Lord Jesus even said that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Trusting yourself blinds from seeing the truth. The Pharisee couldn't see it the way God saw it. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, the most dangerous question you can ask God is, what do you think of me? Hang on, because you're not going to like what God has to tell you. Trusting yourself blinds from seeing the truth. Trusting yourself blinds from knowing the truth. How many people think this King James Bible is just an old archaic book? I've heard it said in sci-fi miniseries and series, and what I'm thinking of in particular, that one individual said, I read through that Bible and it's really very much like Aesop fables. Yeah, that's what the world thinks. This Bible isn't needed. This Bible's wicked. Bill Maher, I heard an interview the other day with him. He said there's no evidence that Jesus was God and that Jesus was on this earth. He actually said there's no evidence that Jesus was on this earth. There's no human being in the history of mankind that there's more evidence that was here on the earth. Amen. Just amazes me. So it blinds you from knowing it. It blinds you from seeing it. It blinds you from understanding it. Well, that when you get into that position, there's no understanding of your condition. You know, beloved, I know we're saved. I know we've been sanctified. The Holy Spirit of God lives within, and we've been made a saint. I understand that, but I still live with a sinner. My wife lives with a sinner. My puppy dog lives with a sinner. My children live with a sinner. My church allows me, a sinner, to be a pastor. That's the mercy and grace of God. Beloved, we must understand our condition as a sinner. A sinner saved by grace, no less. But that's who I am. You say, I come for encouragement. This is encouraging. When you finally get over the arrogance of trusting yourself and understanding that there's somebody bigger than you, stronger than you, smarter than you. When you find out there's somebody who has all the answers, matter of fact, when you find out that there's somebody who is the answer to every question, that's encouraging. That's why the publican could go down there and leave justified, because he'd understood his condition. With this in mind, this is who I could be. The Pharisee is who I could be. We must understand how God sees us. Now, I've said that in just a few moments ago. But I think this is a point we better grab hold of. God's eyes are holy. God's eye sees through the filter of holiness. You and I do not. I'd hate to ask this question, but how many mistakes did you make this week? I started to make a mistake yesterday, but thank the Lord he reminded me, no, David, that's wrong. Just okay, Lord, you're right. Let me fix that. We must understand how God sees us. In order for that to happen, you need to read your Bible. Let's think about some characters in the Bible. We all know Abel and Cain, do we not? Well, if you think about it, we can be either Abel or we can be Cain. How about Jacob? Jacob and all that he went through. And Esau. Esau's ready to kill him. Jacob comes back and he offers him this and that. Esau says, no, I'm just glad my brother's alive and he's here. You keep all that. I've got plenty. How about some other characters? David, King David, brother David, and King Saul. Huh? Maybe one you hadn't thought of. The thief on the left and the thief on the right. Beloved, we must understand how God sees us. But I'm so glad that God sees our condition. God sees our future. And I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus, alive on the throne, still allows the gospel to come across our ears so that folks can be saved. How does God see you? Well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how God sees it. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but by him men would be saved. John chapter 3. We must understand that. Are you ready? This is a tough one. We must understand that we are not God. When our boys were little, they had two moms. Of course, Mama and Morgan. You've seen that in families before where an older daughter will take all the other kids under her wing and Mama has to remind her daily, minute by minute, I'm the mom in this situation, you are not. Well, the same goes for God. Listen, you're not God. God is the only one that can be God. He's holy and righteous without sin. I'm not God. You're not God. What does that do? That humbles us because we think we really are God-like. When was the last time you spoke a world into existence? When was the last time you caused the Red Sea to go up on one side and then come down on the enemy? When was the last time that you took down a giant? When was the last time that you did anything miraculous? We're not God, beloved. But I could be like that. I could be that foolish Pharisee and not be humbled, not be broken, and not be justified before a holy and righteous God. Lastly, last thought of this, we are not the legends our mind convinces us of. You ever heard that phrase? He's a legend in his own mind. This Pharisee could be male or female. This Pharisee could be young or old. This Pharisee could be any human being. That's who I could be. Or I could be that one that smotes himself on the chest and say, Lord God, please forgive me. Lord God, thank you for what you've given me. Lord God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. So my question is who are you trying to be? Who could you be? Hey, do you need to be different? I know I do. Father, help us today in this passage of Scripture to understand who we could be. But because of you, Lord Jesus, who we are, thank you for loving us and dying for us and washing us. And thank you for all that you've done. Eternally secured us and filled us with your Spirit. And oh, thank you for your mercy and help us, God. Please help us to not be what we used to be, but to be what we ought to be, made by your hands. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and our eyes closed. If God's working in your heart, everyone stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If God's working in your heart, you come on to this old-fashioned altar. I don't know what God's working on your heart about. Maybe it's someone to pray for. Maybe to pray for yourself. Maybe to start praying like the publican prayed rather than like the Pharisee prayed. But if God's dealing with your heart, would you come on? Who could I be? Well, I can tell you now, I know what I don't want to be. Lord Jesus, help me to be what you want me to be. If God's dealing with your heart, you come on. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. If no one comes in the next few moments, we'll end the invitation. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I can show you from a Bible how you can know that you know that you know. And that's the blessing of salvation by grace through faith. And the Lord Jesus saves you. You're saved forever. God's dealing with your heart. You come on, Christian. Father, I praise you and thank you that we're able to open our Bibles and to freely read them and preach from them. Lord, I pray that this message has been a help to all of us. And then, Lord God, we want to give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for dying and arising again. Thank you, King Jesus, for that. We glorify and praise you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.